And well, I think it's good afternoon. Just want to first acknowledge Pastor Dave and Ina. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. And just thank them for the privilege of this opportunity to share with you today. And just to watch even their walk with the Lord, you know, it encourages me. Their marriage, their relationship, it just encourages me, and their faith. I do want to tell you, I need you to just kind of stretch your hands toward me this morning. And I need your strength. I need you to pull everything that God has put in me through this message out to you. Father, we just thank you. And I bless you, God, for your people, Lord. I bless you for them. I bless them, Lord God, today. And I thank you, Lord God, for your word. Because your word is truth. It transforms us. It changes us. And Father, I thank you that you will, by the Holy Spirit, convey this truth that you have allowed me to receive to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to say, the message that I was going to bring today suddenly got changed on Friday. On Friday, I had taken a folder, I had a message prepared, and in the middle of it, God said no. There was something else he wanted me to share today. And so, the title of this, and there aren't any fill-ins in your handout, and you can kind of read along with me. It's called Members Together. And the reason I titled it that is because God has been dealing with me about unity in the body of Christ. You know, the oneness that he wants in the body of Christ, here at River of Life, but across the board in his church. And he won't let go of that. And so this message came out of, again, him wanting unity. The foundation scripture that I have is from Romans 12, 4 and 5. And it says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of the other. And as I read that, what I thought about was, even in our physical bodies, I have one body, but I have many members. My hand can't do what my foot can do, right? My heart can't do, let's say, what my stomach would do. It just can't. But they're all needful. All those parts are needful and necessary. So if I convey anything to you today, I want you to know that if you are a member of the body of Christ, you are needful and necessary. You are important. I was thinking, you know, when I was getting dressed this morning, I tripped over something. I didn't stump my toe, but the thought came to me. Even the little toe, I don't know if you've ever stumped your little toe, but you know it's there, right? Because it hurts. That little toe is needful and necessary, right? So every part of the body is important. I also felt like the Lord said to me this morning, that there may be a person or persons here today where you felt like just giving up. You go, Lord, why? You prayed, you've done all you know to do, and your circumstance has not changed. What I was reminded of is there were several men in the Bible who came to that very same place, Job being one of them. David, Moses, Jonah in the belly of the whale. They were like, I want out of here. I don't want to do this anymore. But they called upon the name of the Lord. So I want to encourage you, if that meets here, comes to your ear, and you've been thinking and contemplating and saying to yourself, why am I here? I don't want to do this anymore. Do it with the Lord, because they did. Okay? That's just a little extra. All right? We all, as believers, have personal doctrinal differences. Some of those differences come in, you know, what we believe and what we don't believe. You know, we're all here today, but we all have our own mind. We all have our own will. We have different backgrounds, and we don't always agree doctrinally. But we're still one body, right? I was thinking, I said, Lord, should I share this? Yesterday, I partook of a food that I probably should not have. I wanted it, but my digestive system did not want it. You know, it did not agree, okay? So sometimes we don't agree. And out of that, we hurt each other. We offend each other. We wound each other. And what I want us to know today is that we are one. If you hear nothing else, know that. So we have different personal and doctrinal differences, yet God sees us as a united in the body of his Son. He desires for us to love each other as we love ourselves. And sometimes we can love ourselves more than we love other people. You know, I becomes more important than us. But he wants us to love each other as we love ourselves. Let's look at John 17, 21 through 23. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they may also, that they also may be one in us. He's talking about us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. He keeps saying that. He wants us to be one with him and with the Father, so the world will know that. So it's significant, it's important, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved me as thou hast loved me. So I find it interesting that in the Bible, Paul is the only one who taught about the unity of the body of Christ and the body. He's the only one who taught that relationship, the unity of Christ and the body. And it seemed important to him because he repeated it several times. And I put the scriptures in your outline. You can look at those for homework, where he talks about that relationship between Christ and his body, Christ the head and us the body. He is the only writer, like I said, that teach or taught Christ as the head and us as the body. And I believe that this led to his personal conversion. Let's look at Acts 7, 58 through 8:4. Let me just give you a little bit of a precursor of this particular scripture. I found reading Acts 5, 6, and 7 very significant because it talked about Stephen, who was here, it says, cast out of the city and stoned. But in the previous chapters, he's brought before the religious leaders of that day, and they're angry with him because he's preaching the gospel. And they're saying, they're challenging him, why are you doing that? And I believe it's in chapter 5 and into 6. Stephen gives a whole history of the Jewish family that the patriarchs. He goes through the whole thing from Abraham until even to his time. He tells the whole story. So he's brought this day, and he is being cast out of the city and stoned. And it says, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Keep going, please. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You have to get a visual of this. He knows he's about to die. He knows he's not going to survive. He's going home to be with the Lord, and he's rejoicing in that. They lay down his clothes at the feet of this man called Saul, who's been persecuting the church. I mean, in your outline, it'll say he was wreaking havoc in the church. He was killing Christians. He was going to their homes. He even got a letter from the high priest to go to their homes, drag them out, bring them to Jerusalem so he could put them in prison. That was his job. And he thought he was working for the Lord. Okay? And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, this is Stephen still talking, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And because of that persecution, it says next, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. A devout man carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Interestingly, the death of Stephen caused greater persecution to come to the church in Jerusalem. And at the same time, that scattering that happened caused the gospel to be preached more and more and more. The church grew. Christianity grew. The Jews could not understand that because it didn't make sense. You're killing us. We've separated you from each other. But the ministry of the Christianity grew. It got larger and larger. And I apologize for your papers, how they are. I don't know what I did with the printer, but it did. Anyway, God knows. It's readable, but it's upside down. So it says next here that at the top of page 2, angry Jewish leaders sent Saul to murder Christians. And he did this because of his dedication to Jewish tradition. I would ask you, as Christians today, what are some of your traditions, either traditions of this world or traditions from your religious background? Like, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, or you must do this, you know? Again, go back to what I said. We all have personal and doctrinal differences. So what are some of the traditions that we hold on that we might think are working to help God, and really we're fighting against him? We're not in agreement with him. Again, I'm going to read that. Saul murdered Christians, and he did this because of his dedication to the Jewish traditions of his father. And in Galatians 1:14, it says, and profited with the Jews. This is him to Paul talking about, Saul talking about himself. He says, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. So in a way, he was boasting. He thought, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I would ask you to examine yourself. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Or is it a tradition of this world? or from our background? You know, does it match what God has said? The scattering and persecution caused Christianity to multiply. This confused the Jews. The teaching at the time focused on being saved by not keeping the law, and that no one needed to go to the temple to sacrifice or observe days. And see, that was a tradition of the day. You had to go to the temple, you had to sacrifice, you know, do sacrifices on certain days, and you had to do them succinctly. Christianity said, no, you don't have to do that anymore. We're saved by grace. Amen? Amazing grace. Like Saul, we could find ourselves having difficulty drawing a line between the Word of God and the traditions of this world or religion. Like him, we could think that both came from God, because Saul thought that what he was doing came from God, but it didn't. We could think the same thing, that what we're doing is coming from God. An example might be, this is an old example. I'll use my personal ones because I don't want to offend anybody. I had a coworker, and she attended a church. She invited me to come to visit, and she said to me, but it would be better if you wore no jewelry, no makeup, and you had on a long skirt, because that would offend people in my church. They would think I was a loose woman. Okay? That's a tradition of man. That's not, God says, come. You know? And I love, he says, you can come and you can buy and not have any money. Only God can do that. He says, come as you are. All who are burdened and heavy laden, come as you are. A river of life, that's what we say. Come as you are. And I love, I was having a discussion with Pastor Tim when we were away, and he said, you know, it's our responsibility as leaders to love people into the kingdom. Not to always point a finger, tell them what's wrong with them. Most people already know. But it's to love them into the kingdom. I mean, really, you don't often have to tell people that they're doing something they're not supposed to do. Because the scripture says the Holy Spirit is here to convict men of sin. So people, they have a sense of right and wrong. It's our job to love them into the kingdom. Give them the word. How many of us can say, just by receiving the word of God, things have fallen off your life that were there before? Thoughts, habits, you know, behaviors. They just, all of a sudden you realize, I'm not doing that anymore. I don't have that desire anymore. And it's because the word of God gets in your heart and it begins to change you. And you don't have those same desires or wants and needs anymore. They're gone. Yes. So we love people into the kingdom. Now, is there a place for correction and discipline? Yes. But we do that even in love, right? You don't harshly handle anyone. And you know why? Because that's not how God handles us. How many times has he corrected me? I'll say me. And he does it in such a loving way. And I know that we were talking, and I said, you know, all of us, sometimes you realize when you get out of something that you've been in, how could I have been so dumb? How come I didn't get it the first time? But it takes time sometimes for you to see the error of your way. But God is so patient. He is so gentle. He is so kind. And that's the way he wants us to be, one toward the other. Okay. Like Saul, we could find ourselves having difficulty drawing the line between the word of God and the tradition of the world or religion. Like him, we could think that both comes from God. Saul was blinded to the fact that the Messiah had come to earth, gone back to heaven, and he had missed it. He didn't even know that. I mean, he couldn't even comprehend that. It was a mystery to him. Many in the world are in the same state as Saul. Our blindness, when I say our blindness, I mean the church's blindness, may be not fully accepting the complete work of Christ. Many of us still struggle with that, that he's forgiven all our sins, past, present, and future. And we still say, but what about, or how? Or you get into shame, condemnation, guilt when you don't do something that you feel like or know that you should do. He's forgiven all of our sins. And all we have to do is and the Holy Spirit will convict you. I remember not too long ago, I was getting ready to say something. And you know how sometimes you can talk and you can magnify something and make it sound beautiful when it really isn't that way, you know? Because it would have made me look good to do that. And I started saying it out of my mouth, and immediately I got conviction from the Holy Spirit, and I just shut up. And then I had to say, Lord, forgive me, you know? He does, he will. He's so close to us. Even the slightest thing. Am I perfect? No, I'm not saying that. But there are times when the conviction is so clear, and if I'm listening, I can adjust. I can, you know, like even like the GPS, I can, you know, reroute myself, you know? It's kind of an internal thing. Nobody else necessarily has to know about that. But he corrects us in a loving, gentle way, you know, because he loves us and he has a work for us to do. Let's look at Acts 9, 1 through 5. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I found it interesting that Saul recognized the voice. Many people know about God, but they don't know him. He knew, he recognized the voice. He was Jewish. He had heard that history that Stephen talked about. He had ancestors. He knew about that history. And then he asked Jesus kind of a rhetorical question. He just repeated to him. He said, "Why do I do that?" He did it because that's what he was taught to do. And a lot of times we do what we do because that's what we're taught to do. We behave the way we behave because that's the way we behaved, you know. And I want to say this: we have some adults here, leaders, that need to repent today. That's just a little aside. We had a couple drivers on our trip that had lead feet. And we told them that we were going to expose them today. They needed to repent. They were going to be called to the altar for their lead feet. We got here in unsupernatural time. Yes. Anyway. They know who they are. They'll come to the altar. Okay. So what I want to say about that is he's on his way. He's still persecuting Christians, and he has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love how Jesus talked to him. And he told him, he was slain. He's on the road. He's conversating with Jesus. And he tells him, you know, he's to get up and he's to go on into Jerusalem and, I'm sorry, into Damascus. Thank you. And when he gets up, though, he's lost his sight. He can't see. So he has to be guided. Someone has to take him by the hand and lead him. When sinners come and they are born again, sometimes they need a little bit of discipleship. They need to be guided. You know, if you've lived in the world and you've had a hard life, you don't automatically just drop off everything that was there before. But your spirit becomes 100% like Jesus. But your soul is being perfected. Even us who are saved and spirit-filled, our souls are still being perfected, right? Yes. So then we know that there's a story in the Bible where the man he's to meet has a dream and a vision, and he's told that Saul is coming, and he's told that he is to minister to him. He's to learn the things that he is to suffer, because God says, I've got great plans for this man. And, you know, I kept looking in Acts. I'm thinking, so when did his name change? And, you know, I looked for that, and I couldn't find it in the book of Acts. It's in the book of Luke where he is referred to, Luke 14, I believe, where Saul is referred to as Paul. So a lot of stuff is going on there, you know, before he becomes Paul, the apostle, who writes much of the New Testament, right? Who was before persecuting, killing Christians. They were actually afraid of him, even when he came around the other believers, because of his past. You know, they're probably converts that are going to come to us, because we believe they're coming. We may be a little bit afraid of. It's like, are they really saved? Do they really love the Lord? Are we okay to have them here? What are you going to do? We can't run and hide. We have to love them into the kingdom, right? Amen? All right. Okay. All right. I have one thing that I want to share with you that I don't have on your notes. Okay, so I kind of already did what was on that page, but let me just repeat it. Paul seemingly recognized the voice of the Lord, but didn't seem to know it was Jesus. He asked a rhetorical question, why am I persecuting you? He believed he was helping the Lord and was on his side. He even reminded Jesus that he was responsible and had overseen the killing of Stephen. Some believe that Jesus revealed to Saul that in killing Stephen, he was actually killing Jesus, or killing Jesus himself. And I thought when I wrote that, I thought about a message that Pastor Kimberly had given us when she said she was here one Sunday and God asked her, do you see me? And she said, what do you mean, do I see you? And she was expecting in her mind, Gate, to see Jesus. And he said, do you see me? And I think he asked you that three times. And she said, he said to her, look at the faces of the people. When you can see me in them, then you're complete. So look at your neighbor right now, just glance at your neighbor and say, I see Jesus in you. Amen. Do it to someone else. I see Jesus in you. All right. Amen. Let's look at John 17, 21, 23. Because when we can see Jesus in each other, we're going to pull Jesus out of that person. You know? We are. Because they have something that we need. I love the servant's heart that I see in this body. I love the giving heart that I see in this body. I love the faithfulness that I see in this body. And those are things that you can't purchase. You can't buy love. You know, they are ingrained in us as a part of who we are in Christ. John 17, 21 says, and this is Jesus, he says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That was his heart, that we would be one in Jesus the Son and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, Jesus in us, and thou in me, God in Jesus, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved me as thou hast loved me. So it's real important. Jesus wants us to represent him. And I have a statement here that I think is really profound. But we are in Christ, and Christ is in God, which means that we are in God. Can you say that? I'm in God. At salvation, we join Christ. He and we form the whole man. He is the head, and we are the body. Can you see yourself as Christ? Because you're the body. Let me just share this with you. Jesus' death marked the end of the historical human savior. All four of the gospels tell the same story. Jesus came to die. You know? A lot of attention was given to his arrest, his trial, beating, his crucifixion, his works, his healing. Not a whole lot of emphasis was put on his works, his healing, his miracles. And when his miracles were addressed, they gave small accounts. It wasn't like profound. I mean, a lot of the scripture didn't talk. It talked about his miracles, but it didn't blow him up. It talked more about his preparation to die. And between his resurrection and ascension, Jesus did not minister, he didn't preach a sermon, and he didn't perform a miracle. What he did was he taught his disciples. He met with them in groups, he met with the 12, and he began to teach them about what they were going to do when he was gone. The first sermon that was preached after the resurrection was preached by Peter at Pentecost. And the first healing miracle happened when Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful. Why do you think this was? Jesus, his departure, set the stage for the main message. So when he left, he prepared the stage for the main message. We're on the stage now. The church, his body. Out of his death came our life. As it said in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The head, Jesus, had to go to heaven so that the body could be formed. We've been given his same eternal life, filled with the Holy Spirit, and we have power and authority because of Jesus. We are his ambassadors. And this is really good here. God, what he did is he replaced his only son with a multitude of sons and daughters. That's us. He took Jesus home. He's seated now at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's praying for us. And God did that so that he could now have a multitude of sons and daughters, who we are. So how I would like to close this today is, if you haven't, like Saul, had that personal encounter, invite you to accept Jesus into your life. Make him Lord and Savior. And if you are already saved, commit to be that body. Because we're the body. We're the hands, we're the feet, we're the legs, we're the mouth on the earth that Jesus and God has chosen to work through to bring others to him. Sadly, we can separate ourselves from one another. We do it through denominations. You know, how many Christian denominations are there? I don't know, on the earth or in the world. Huh? Too many to count, yeah. And some will say, well, I can't go to that church because they do this or they don't do that. But the prerequisite for us being Christians is just one thing. That's believing on Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That he died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the only thing that makes us Christians. So if they believe that, we're connected, we're united, we're one. So what we have to do, because you watch, I mean, watch other religions, world religions. I think of one particular group of people. I can think of two who don't profess Jesus as Lord, but they're very powerful. They're very connected. They work very well together. I don't know if they tolerate some of the things that we do in the Christian church, how we treat each other, how we talk about each other, how we sometimes separate ourselves from one another. I think in order for Christ to truly come and take away a glorious church, we have got to become one. And we can do that, we can start that here at River of Life. I believe we are further along than a lot of churches already. I love the love in this church. I do. Yes, I love the diversity in this church. Yeah, and like I said, I love the faithfulness in this church. Jesus does not separate us, because when he looks at us, he sees himself. Faith in Jesus only makes us a Christian or a member of the body. So like I said, let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you see us as one body, and Jesus is the head of that body. So, Lord, I'm just asking now that if anyone has heard these words and you're, by the Holy Spirit, letting them know that they need you, that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, that they would come and say, what must I do to be saved? And Lord, they would find a body that would welcome them and love them and disciple them so that they can do the work that you have ordained for them to do. They would have their Saul to Paul experience. And Father, I thank you that you're going to make us even greater in unity and oneness that there would be no schisms in this body, Lord, so that we can continue to grow and glorify you in the earth. Lord, that we truly would do what it says to make your name famous in the earth. Lord, that you will be known. And we just thank you for that. We bless you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the oneness and unity that you gift us with in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. Well, I'm going to call the altar team up and ask you to come. And I'm going to ask Brother Pastor Tim Pritchard if he would come and close us with our blessing scripture.